This is the Alternate History Show. We revisit the past, change it, and see what happens. Enough said.
And welcome to a very special edition of the Feedback Hub today. I am joined by author, prolific author, Bruno Lombardi. Hello, Bruno.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's really hot and muggy here in Ottawa right now, and my cat's acting a little weird, so...
It's all good. You did say when you agreed to this pre-record that your cat might be the one making a lot of noise, but it's your fan all in all.
It's one or the other. We'll see what happens.
Possibly both. Tell us about how you became interested, first of all, in alternate history. How did your affair with AH begin?
Way back in 1988, there was a book that came out called A Different Flesh. It was written by Harry Turtledove, and it was basically a collection of previously published short stories of his. The basic premise of his universe is that when the Europeans showed up in the Americas, there were no natives here. Instead, what had happened was that it was populated by a hominid species, Homo erectus. So basically, this very primitive species of ape-like humans was basically populating. The whole collection of stories in the anthology was basically a history, like, you know, from the year 1500 to 1988, of all the changes that happened in the Americas because of this. It was different patterns, different migration patterns, different countries got developed, all that good stuff. And it blew me away. I had been involved in a lot of science fiction, fantasy stuff up to that point, courtesy of my sister. She was big into sci-fi back when she was a teenager and had bought all those amazing stories, analog magazines, Isaac Asimov Presents kind of stuff. And when she went off to university, she basically just gave me this huge pile of like 50 or 60 books. I got involved in all this stuff, but this was my first introduction to alternate history. And I was like, okay, where's this been all my life? I got into a bunch more stuff at that point. As to how I got into alternate history and writing as well, back around 2004, thereabouts, there was this brand new discussion board. It was called alternatehistory.com. I decided, you know what? I've been sort of lurking in a bunch of stuff. I'm going to join this discussion board. And I actually checked before doing this interview. I was member number 189 to sign up.
Wow.
I was like one of the old guards. It was the best decision I made because I met a lot of people. I actually met my fiance on the board. If you want to know more about how I got into writing, I used to regale the people on the discussion board and people at work with my misadventures of Bruno. One person said that I was a weirdness magnet. Everything weird that you can possibly think, any weird event, that would kind of happen to me. And at some point, somebody said, you know what? Why are you not writing short stories? I mean, half your adventures sound like it's made from a fictional character anyway. Why don't you get... And that's how I got involved. I started collaborating with a few people on the board. Mm. I started coming up with my own stuff. And that's where it all started. Just took off from there.
You write other genres as well. You are quite involved with the science fiction, the sci-fi community as well.
Yes, exactly. I actually have published a novel called Snake Oil.
Okay, tell us about it.
The premise with Snake Oil is that aliens come to Earth.
Yeah.
But they're not here to bring us into the Federation. They're not here to destroy us. They're not here to suck our brains or anything here.
Yeah.
They're basically the used car salesmen of the galaxy.
Wow.
And they come here to basically sell us all of their crap. It's good crap, it's highly advanced crap, but it's crap nevertheless.
Okay.
Basically, all the countries of the world fall over themselves to get involved with this, and basically, it goes from there. We follow a whole bunch of different characters. Some are supporting the aliens, some are against the aliens, some are on the fence, and in the end, big train wreck, but all ends up in the end.
I suppose it's natural then, with your interest in space travel from other worlds and your interest in the alternate history, that the two are gonna sort of meet up at some point. And so they did, with your short story that you wrote, which is what we're ostensibly here to talk about, what we did refer to quite a lot in the previous episodes. The road was lit with moon and star. Tell us about writing this, because when we first sort of e-met, so to speak, and I said I haven't read any of your stuff. That ended up being untrue, because I did actually read this story way, way back when it was in its early alternatehistory.com draft. I read a little bit of it. But tell us about the story in its entirety without giving away too many spoilers.
What happens is, and we learned this in the very first page, so I'm not giving too many spoilers.
Yeah.
The point is, Apollo 11 crashed on landing, and the hopes and dreams now rests on Apollo 12 to actually make the landing successfully.
Yeah.
And we follow the adventures of our main character, David Patton. The running theme in the story is we learn how he got involved in the Apollo missions, and we learn what are the major words. What's going to be the first words spoken on the moon? And this is a big running theme in the story, because he has no clue. Everyone's giving advice, and we learn through the flashbacks and stuff, some ideas that eventually gives him the idea of what the first words are going to be on the moon. And it's very much a character piece.
Which is interesting as well, because, of course, the words that were said on the moon by Neil Armstrong, you know, one giant leap and all that lot, they are so synonymous. But, of course, in this world, they wouldn't have been said. So it's down to David Patton to make that speech, of course.
And Neil Armstrong played his cards very close. Nobody knew what the words were, and never told anybody what his little words are going to be. And so that famous saying never existed.
You envisage it taking about a year, I think. The Apollo 12 landings in your story happen right about September time of 1970. How did you think, well, this is going to take about a year? On what basis did you come to that conclusion?
Obviously, if it crashed, it's going to be a big investigation to find out what exactly happened, and then there's going to be a big push to implement as many changes that they could do to make sure that this doesn't happen. And it goes back to JFK's famous speech, where basically he stated, we're going to land a man on the moon by the end of the decade, which technically speaking, depending how you see it, could be either the end of 1969 or 1970, depending on your definition of a decade. So obviously there's a big political push to make sure it gets done by 1970. And as for why that specific dates, I got really deep in the woods. I do a lot of research for all my stories, and no matter how esoteric the stuff should be. And NASA didn't pick random dates for their launch dates. There's all this orbital dynamics and fuel consumption calculations that they have to do.
Yeah.
And I actually picked up a list of alternate launch dates, and that date was one of the alternate launch dates that NASA was planning to do for any missions that were planned in 1970.
In your story, do you address the pushback after the Apollo landings that there may well have been from the likes of, say, William Proxmire in the Senate, perhaps saying that we need to not go back to the moon given what's happened?
I didn't address that specifically, but it's kind of in the background, this whole idea that we got to do it. That kind of overwhelmed any objections that people might have. Now, what happens after 1970, who knows? But it was like, we got to land the moon. At the very least, we got to do this landing.
I want to turn to the main protagonist, if you like, in the story, Mr. David Patton. Who is David Patton? Is he a character that you made up, or is he based on someone, or is he entirely real but worked somewhere else? Who is he?
He is entirely made up. I didn't want to go with too many real characters. I mean, there's a whole bunch of real characters.
Although, interestingly, you do have Alan Shepard as part of this.
Exactly. For story purposes, I'm like going, well, I got to have a whole brand new person here so I could do backstories and all this stuff and not inadvertently insult the memory of Alan Shepard or whoever. There was one weird little thing that I discovered while doing research on this, and this is like one of these weird trivia things that one of your audience members would probably use to win like a bar bet. Every single Apollo astronaut had three names. Now, there was no characters like, you know, Bruno Lombardi, two names or anything. Everyone had three names. Not two, not four, but three names. It was just this weird bit of trivia that I discovered. And I figured when I came up with the name for David, it's like, okay, I'm going to be different. He's got four names. David Daniel Thomas Patton. And it's like, just went from there. It's like, this is the character, this is the whole backstory that I want to develop from him. As to how I came up with the names, I did want to go with a biblical theme, because his dad is a reverend in the short
yes.
story. And so I just started trying them out. It's like, okay, David, George, you know, Lucas. So like, I just started coming up with different names. And I swear I'm not making this up. I tried them out on my cat. And the ones that she meowed at, it was like, yes, okay.
That's the one we'll go for. Gets the cat's approval, so we can't say fairer than that. In your story, of course, as you alluded to earlier on, Apollo 11, what we know as the successful moon landings, were unsuccessful, and pretty dramatically so. What was different, mechanically and practically, I suppose, about this alternate Apollo 11 moon landing that was successful in real life, so to speak?
Well, if you know the story, Armstrong was running very low on fuel before the landing, and in this story, I don't go into too many details because, like I said, I didn't want to get bogged down on specifics.
Yeah.
But that had a factor. Something happened at that moment, something screwed up, he miscalculated, and basically, just by no fault of his own, it crashed, and they both died on impact. How I came up with the story had to do with the Sapphire memo. Nixon had two speeches written. One, if there was a successful moon landing, and one, if there was an unsuccessful moon landing.
In the event of moon disaster, of course.
In the event of moon disaster. Now, to the best of my knowledge, outside of the White House, no one had ever seen that memo, that speech, until 1999. There was a reporter doing research on a book about the Nixon administration. Pure dumb luck, he came across this unused speech in the National Archives, and it got published in 1999, and this is just when the internet was taking off. Nothing dies on the internet, so every couple of years, this story comes up, and it shows up in discussion boards and social media and stuff around 2011, 2012, something like that. It was like, wow, this is a very interesting story. I might toy around with something like this. A couple of days after I saw this idea, an editor friend of mine who had published my very first short story, he basically sent me an email saying, hey, Bruno, I really liked your short story that I got published in this time travel anthology. Mm. Just as a heads up, I'm doing an anthology on alternate America.
Ah. So,
and it was like, wow, kismet, karma. I don't know what's going on here, but like literally the day after I came up with that, I saw this thing and said, and this little bugbear or whatever you want to call it was just stuck in my head.
Sure.
That maybe I should do something with this. This editor says, I'm doing anthology. It's like, well, now I've got to write a short story here.
I have to say, actually, I came across your story in a similar sort of fashion, really. I was listening to a documentary on the BBC, which featured speeches never made. There was JFK's post-Dallas speech that was mentioned. And, of course, Nixon giving that speech in event of moon disaster, and actually got an actor to sound very much alike him. You can really imagine Nixon saying those words. And
there's actually a deep fake video on the on
there is the I came across that too. I was seeking out alternate history surrounding the moon landings, and came across your timeline. Thinking a little bit more, what's your cat's name, by the way?
Minx.
Okay, excellent. Does Minx have any opinion on your alternate history work, by the way?
She has very strong opinions on some of my stuff.
And, right.
She occasionally sticks around, and if it does not meet with her approval, she lets a know to me.
One difference that I was interested in between your story and the typical alternate history depiction of the moon landings going wrong was the nature in which they went wrong. You have the moon landings crashing into the moon, whereas a lot of AH depicts the moon landing sort of happening but being stranded. I'm interested to know why you went with the former rather than the latter.
I just wanted to kill them off. I know it sounds horrible, cruel. I'm a writer. I just wanted to kill them off right there.
It was just for dramatic effect, basically.
Dramatic effect.
Okay, lovely. Tell us a little bit more about the anthology that this was part of, so to speak. When did it come out, and tell us a little bit more about it generally?
It came out in 2014. There's a whole bunch of different stories in there, and it was a very broad generalities when he said alternate Americas. It's like, I'm not looking at a specific theme. Just give me whatever you could come up with. I'll make the final decision.
Yeah.
So there's stuff there like, you know, what if George Washington had been a loyalist? What if the Vikings had settled North America? Stuff like that. There's a whole bunch of different ideas in the anthology as well.
Tell us about the person who put it all together.
His name is Martin Ingham. I've never actually met him. He's a small press editor in Maine. I first came across him back in 2012. One of my short stories, my very first published short story, was published in his anthology. It's called The Temporal Element. My short story is a Thursday night in Dr. Watts' Time and Relative Dimensional Space Bar and Grill, which is probably one of the longest titles of any short story.
Yeah, it doesn't roll off the tip of the tongue. It's possibly longer than the story itself.
It almost is, and I did it as a joke because some members on the board basically challenged me to write it. Mm. And basically the premise is, it's a bartender at a bar that tends to time travelers. And the very first line in the story is, who else has killed Hitler? Because of the common trope of, you know, the very first thing that a time traveler does when they invent a time machine is they go back in time and try to kill Hitler. The whole story is all of these time travelers giving their tales of woe of how they tried to kill Hitler and it didn't work out very well. He loved my short story, and it's actually the very first short story in that Temporal Element anthology. And he basically gave an open invitation saying, I'm going to be coming up a whole bunch of different anthologies. I love your stuff. If you ever have any ideas for any other anthologies that could come up, throw them my way. And I just basically stayed in touch with him. I still do. Even 10 years later, we still stay in touch.
Have you written any more anthologies together or contributed to anything more from him?
Oh, yes. The Alternate America came out in 2014. Mm. And a few years later, there was one came out in 2017, I believe, 2017, 2018, called Alternate Europe. I was a co-writer on two short stories in that one. One of them, N'oublions Jamais, I co-wrote that with a fellow board member called Tom Anderson.
Yes.
It actually got nominated for a Sideways Award in 2018. That was the year I turned 50. And it is the first and so far only short story of mine that actually has been nominated for an award. And the big decision was going to be done on my birthday. So I was like, I'm having the best birthday ever. It's like, I have no idea how this got nominated, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose, but I don't care. It's fun to be nominated, all that stuff.
Oh, definitely.
And eventually, I lost out to a short story written by Harry Turtledove.
If you're going to lose out to anyone, Harry Turtledove is it, possibly.
Which is really weird because it was literally 30 years to the day, and I got introduced to alternate history by Harry Turtledove. And 30 years later, one of my short stories misses out on winning an award to Harry Turtledove. And it's like, there's some kind of weird kismet or... Mm. Like, I think this is the part of the podcast where you start playing the Circle of Life song.
Did Harry Turtledove become aware of your work?
That I don't know. I would love to know if he does.
Tell us about what your future, what you're doing in the future as far as alternate history is concerned. Have you got anything in the pipeline for us?
Not as yet, but I'm still very, very fascinated by the alternate history. I contributed to an anthology called With Iron and Fire. That's out by Sea Lion Press.
Yes.
And it's basically an alternate China scenario with that one. I submitted a novella. It's a travelogue by a character traveling to China during the 1930s. And it's a great way to just do a lot of name dropping and give the history of what has happened and all that stuff about what's going on in this alternate China. Mm. And I enjoyed writing it very much.
Bruno, have you got a website or have you got any social media credentials? Any way that people can follow your antics generally?
I have a Facebook page.
Okay.
Facebook page. It's Bruno Lombardi, author. And you can check out my Facebook page. And I will be starting a blog sometime soon. I'll let you know about it.
Excellent.
Once it's all up and running. That's what's going on at the moment right now.
Bruno Lombardi. And Lombardi, by the way, is spelt L-O-M-B-A-R-D-I, just so people know. Next time you write something, let us know, and maybe we can get you nominated for a Sidewise Award once again, and maybe you could actually win it. Beat Harry Turtledove.
Yes.
That'd be interesting. Bruno, thank you very much for your time today.
I'm glad to help.